Good morning, Kansas City. So glad to be back on air with you. Once again, this is Pastor Rodney Barlow of Lighthouse Church of Independence. We are at 14411 East 33rd Street South in Independence, right behind Truman High School. Our phone number there is at 816-836-7466. Morning worship, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Sunday school is at 10:15 a.m. And our midweek Bible study, Shining the Light of God's Word, is every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And I'm just so excited that we are continuing our topic on the subject of the oneness of God, helping you all over the airways realize and see in Scripture that Jesus Christ is the absolute Lord God over all, that there is no Trinity. There's no word Trinity in the Bible, and the Bible never disclosed God to be viewed in that form, in that fashion. And we're just consistently going through the Word of God, sharing with you in Scripture, hopefully bringing revelation to you to see that Jesus Christ is the one true ultimate God that was the Messiah of the Old Testament. What we're going to do in the next few weeks here is talk about comparing the Scriptures. We all understand and realize that Scripture cannot contradict itself. That if anything even remotely seems to be a contradictory in Scripture, Scripture's not at fault. It's our human reasoning. It's our limited understanding. It's us not exegeting the Scriptures correctly. It's us not interpreting Scripture correctly. And we want to make sure we are rightly dividing the word of truth. And remember, when we look at this subject, we have to look at it from the point of view of who the writer or the author was writing it to. The authors of the Bible who were moved by the Holy Ghost to pen the words were Jewish people who only believed in one God. They never saw him in three persons as quote-unquote one. They never saw him in a Trinitarian fashion or form. They only knew him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they knew him prophetically that he would, according to scriptures we've already talked about, and we will get into more today, that this God, this Spirit, would come down and become flesh, not a separate person in the Godhead, just a different role, a different manifestation. So again, we are going to compare scriptures. So Kansas City, all of you all over the world listening in, through internet, whatever it might be, get your Bibles out. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. And the first subject we are going to cover is, okay, who is the Father? Who is the Father? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 says, one God. Okay, there you go already. Not three. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So we are going to discuss who is this one God and Father. Let's first go now to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, notice the punctuation, comma, Jesus Christ the righteous. Father, again, is an adjective, and Jesus Christ is a proper noun, and we have the adjective, the title Father, describing who the noun Jesus Christ is. The scripture lets us know that John was telling us that if we do sin, which we all have sin in our lives, that there is an advocate, there is a defense attorney, there is one who is standing in the gap to let us know that we are righteous in his sight. Who is that? The Father. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the righteous. We'll have more verses. Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 19, and we are going to take our time walking through the scripture. John chapter 8. And verse 19, we are going to take our time walking through this chapter to see the context of what Jesus got in trouble for amongst
the peers that he was with when he was ministering on earth. John 8, verse 19. Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Now, the background and the context of this is that there was a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and they wanted to trap Jesus. If you are who you say you are, the law of Moses tells us, it commands us to stone her. So what do you say, Jesus? And he understood that they were trying to tempt him. We know the story. He writes down, he ignores them, and he writes some words on the ground. And then he said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then he went and told her after they went away, Woman, where are your accusers? No man condemns you. And then he says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And then the Pharisees, they said this in verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. So in other words, you're claiming to be somebody, but we don't believe you are that somebody. Verse 14. Though I bear record of myself, Jesus says, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and I know where I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and where I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. Now watch this in verse 16. But I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now, when he was speaking in such close relationship of him and the Father, they understood what that meant. That's why they asked the question in verse 19, Where is your Father? And then they're saying, What are you really trying to say? And then Jesus says, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. I'm going to drive home the point that the subject of this conversation is the Father. Let's make sure we get that understood. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And Jesus continued to go on. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Jesus responds, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that, now listen to this, if ye believe not that I am he. I go back to what I said 2 minutes ago. What is the subject of this conversation? What is the subject of this altercation between these Pharisees, these Jewish people, and Jesus? The subject was the Father. And it says, if you don't believe that I am he, well, that I am he is a very pronunciated phrase in the Jewish mind. Because in the Old Testament, Isaiah prophesied that the I am was going to be there. So when they heard I am, it triggers what Moses said concerning God when he went and spoke to Pharaoh. They understood when I am is said, when that phrase is said, he's speaking about the Old Testament God. He says, ye shall die in your sins. Now, then they said unto him in verse 25, because now they're really seeing where he's going. So they want to be clear. Again, verse 19, they said, Where is thy Father? Now in verse 25, they're saying, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say to you and judge to you, but he that sent me is true, And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Now, verse 27. I want you all looking at it. John chapter 8, verse 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. So again, we are hammering it home that he says there needs to be no confusion on who we are talking about. I am the Father. After they asked him, who are you? Verse 25 says that. Verse 27 says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, speaking of his being 100% man, again, to have flesh, a spirit cannot have flesh, then shall ye know that I am he. Please go back to the previous verse, 27. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. So once again, the Father is the focus point of this conversation. Verse 28, going along with us understanding that the Father is the focal point of this conversation. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Jesus plainly tells them, I'm speaking to myself to let you know that I am the Father. That is the subject of our conversation. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always please those things that please him. Now, you might be saying, well, see, that proves there's two of them, because he's speaking now that Jesus is saying that is his Father. Well, if you remember the entirety of what I've been teaching you, we need to understand that Jesus Christ, the physical man, is 100% physical man and 100% God. He is God, the Spirit, made flesh. But he's talking to these Jewish people that understood where he's going. So let me continue. But do not look at the scripture when he says, I do the things that please him, as someone being separate. He was a 100% man that still had to communicate with the Spirit. And we will talk more about that. Stay with me here. Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Okay? Now, let's jump to verse 44. And this is still the same context of what's been going on. Now, he says in verse 44, because they're not understanding what he's trying to communicate to them. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, what is he saying? He's talking about how he is the Father. Ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, he's very direct towards calling them pretty much sons of devils, because of their lack of belief in who he says he is. But let's see their response. The Jews responded in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and you have a devil? They turned it around. Jesus said, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Okay, now when he said that, they think they can trip him up. Then said Jesus, the Jews, unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Why? Because Abraham is dead. Aha, we got you. And the prophets, they're dead. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? In other words, Jesus, here you are speaking these bold statements and these bold words, and you're saying that if we follow you, we won't taste death. Are you greater than Abraham? Hey, he's dead. Are you greater than the prophets? Hey, they're dead. Who are you? Who are you making yourself to be? So when we read the scripture, we cannot put our own interpretation on it. We must read it what it says. And these Jewish people are asking him a direct question. Jesus, you're saying bold things. Who are you making yourself to be? We have to pay attention to what his response is to their direct question. Verse 54, I honor myself. My honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now the Jews think they know they got him. Jesus, you have must have lost your mind. Look at verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, You are not yet 50 years old. And look how they respond. This is what they interpret what he's saying. And you're saying, Thou hast seen Abraham? So again, you have to interpret scripture how they are interpreting scripture. Jesus, the bold statements you are making, you're claiming to be better than Abraham. You're claiming to be better than the prophets. Who are you making yourself to be? And now in answering that, you're saying that Abraham rejoiced to see your day, and you're not even 50 years old. Now watch what Jesus says. I hope you're getting this. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That I am that he gave was the exact same I am that God gave Moses when he told Pharaoh, this is who you tell Pharaoh who sent you. So when the Jews hear the context of what Jesus is claiming to be after they ask him, remember, look at the whole scripture. We saw in verse 19, they said, Where is your father? Verse 25, they said, Who are you? Now they said in verse 53, Whom makest thyself? After all those three questions, after the context of the scripture is speaking about the Father, and then Jesus comes out and says that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They couldn't take it anymore. They said, You're not even 50 years old. What are you talking about? And Jesus says it. Before Abraham was, I am. A Jewish person hearing somebody else say, I am, they understood you're claiming to be God. No, not any God, not junior God, not second God, but the one true God that we've been taught. How do I know? Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We're going to read a scripture later on concerning them wanting to stone Jesus. But let's go back and give context to this. And I don't really feel to move on too much, but we'll hit John 10 before I close out here. The entire context of chapter 8 was about them talking about the Father. And they asked him direct questions. Who's your father? Who are you? Who you make yourself to be? And his closing statement was in verse 58, I am. And they wanted to kill him. To them, that was blasphemy. You, being a man, makes yourself God. So I want us to understand, as you hear the airwaves, this is not, you know, some new doctrine.
This is apostolic doctrine. This is apostolic teaching. This is teaching that's rooted in what the apostles knew, what the Jewish people knew, what the Old Testament Jewish people knew, that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So as I keep on teaching this, I'm going to keep reiterating the fact that the reason why we need to understand he's one is because this message, this doctrine, this teaching about the oneness of God is still all about salvation. That this one God had to become man, robe himself in man in order to die, because flesh cannot die. So when he spoke these bold statements to them, it rubbed them the wrong way because they understood, you are a man. Yes, I am a man, because flesh and blood has to die for the sins of the world. Okay, I'm going to close it out with John chapter 10, and I want us to go to verse 30. And again, I don't have time to go into the whole chapter, but I want you to read it and then get back to me when you get to verse 30. What I mean by that is study the whole context of Scripture, and then we'll meet together here at verse 30. John 10, 30. He says, I and my Father are one. Now, us hearing that, not a big deal. What's the big deal of saying I and my Father are one? Why is that an issue? Well, we're talking about monotheistic Jewish people. I taught you a few months ago that monotheistic is the belief in one God. So when you have a man saying that he and his Father are one, then that is no longer a monotheistic belief system. That is a duality or polytheism if it's more than two. Now, Jesus, I say it in my own terminology, kind of plays dumb a little bit here. Now, hear me now. Verse 32. Verse 31, after they heard him say, I and my Father are one, verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again. So this is the second time that they want to stone him. And Jesus says, hey, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? I've done many great miracles, and now you want to throw stones at me to kill me. I've been doing the work of my Father. Hey, what's the big deal? Remember, let's listen to their response, not interpret or make up our own. Let's hear what their response was for what it was. And these Jewish people, this is their response, verse 33, and I do close with this. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. When they approached him, when they showed him that they were upset, when they said, we're going to kill you, and we will specify we're going to kill you, we are killing you not because you're claiming to be the second person in a Trinitarian God that we've never heard before. No, we are claiming to kill you, and we're being specific on why we're going to kill you, because you are a man, and as a man, you're making yourself God. They didn't kill him because he was claiming to be some second person. They wanted to kill him because they, being monotheistic Jews, understood that he was making himself God. Doesn't say junior God. Doesn't say second person of the Trinity God. Doesn't say God the Son. They say out of their mouths, out of a monotheistic thinking, you being a man, making yourself God. They understood what Jesus was claiming to be. They understood he was claiming to be the God of the Old Testament, the prophesied Messiah. They just didn't believe that he was actually that one. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. We are still at the middle part of this series. I really do want to continue in the future to open up the phone line. So again, I didn't get to it today. I'm hoping to give you a good foundation on what I'm trying to communicate to you about the apostolic doctrine, which is the oneness of God. And as we continue to understand that, we will then understand the importance of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all the time I have today. Once again, this is Reverend Rodney Barlow, Lighthouse Church of Independence. We'll be back on the air in 2 weeks to continue this topic. God bless you.